Stay tuned for Grace Matters, brought to you by First Presbyterian Church at the corner of Ocean and Monroe Streets in Jacksonville.
We're continuing in our sermon series on 2 Corinthians. Can you see me over there? Okay. We've entitled, How to Become What We Were Created to Be. We've talked in past weeks about how to be in sync with our Lord. And we said that we're in sync with the Lord when we realize that we are ambassadors given a responsibility of working toward reconciliation. We saw last week that we're in sync with the Lord when we live like temples. This week we see we're in sync with the Lord when we are joyful givers. Now I'm going to start this morning with showing you a few pictures. The first one up here is the one of just a map. And you can see kind of the Dead Sea down at the bottom and the Jordan River. Now, the next slide is of the Dead Sea. And what do you notice? Turn down the lights a little bit. There's no vegetation anywhere. I've had the privilege of being there a few times. And what's interesting is, and we can go to the next one, is there's 35% of the Dead Sea is full of salt. And so people go and they like to float in it. So you can always tell the tourists they are out in the middle of this thing floating, and the locals are over there counting their money because they give you towels and take your picture and that kind of thing. Well, it's absolutely dead, just like the word said. Now, the next picture is a picture of what? Do you know what that is? The Jordan River, river that John baptized Jesus in. And I baptized a few people there a few years ago. It's the same place way up in the northeast. You can see how lush it looks. It kind of reminds me of the mountains of North Carolina when you get up in the northern part of Israel. It's beautiful, and the river is very much alive. Go to the next one. Why is the Dead Sea dead, and why is the River Jordan so alive? And it's because the river is constantly being refilled with new rain and new runoff water. The Dead Sea is a dead end. The salt has no place for it to go. I begin my message this morning with that image in mind because I believe that we get a choice in life. Do we get to live like the River Jordan? Or do we choose to live like the Dead Sea? One is constantly replenished. Rain comes, flows through it. The other is a big, stagnant pool. It receives, but gives nothing out. That's why it's all salt. There's nowhere for the salt to go. We are recipients of the blessings of God. And the way that God has created us is to be people who receive those gifts and let those gifts flow through to wherever God calls us to let them go. There are people who have said that there are two kinds of people in the world. There are givers and takers. Takers eat better, but givers sleep better. That's what Paul's trying to teach the Corinthians today. Listen now to the word of God as it comes to us in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm going to read verses 1 through 7. Hear the word of God. Now, it is not necessary for me to write you about the ministry to the saints. What's a saint? Remember what a saint is? It's just a believer. It's just anyone who is a believer is a saint. About the ministry to the saints. For I know your eagerness, which is the subject of my boasting about you to the people of Macedonia, saying that Achaia has been ready since last year, and your zeal has stirred up most of them. But I am sending the brothers in order that our boasting about you may not prove to have been empty in this case, so that you may be ready as I said you would be. Otherwise, if some of the Macedonians come with me and find that you are not ready, we would be humiliated to say nothing of you in this undertaking. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to go on ahead to you and arrange in advance for this bountiful gift that you have promised, so that it may be ready as a voluntary gift and not as an extortion. The point is this. The one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. The one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a what? Cheerful giver. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth, meditations of all our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight. O our rock. In our rock and our redeemer. Amen. To understand this text, you need to know a little history. There's a background to this. As you know, the first church was founded in Jerusalem after Easter. And then they began to send out missionaries and who began planting churches around the Mediterranean rim. Well, a famine took place in Jerusalem. And so what Paul was doing is going back to the churches that he had planted and asked for gifts, not for himself, for his own ministry. Remember, he was a tent maker, but asked for gifts that he could take back to Jerusalem. And what he's doing is he's using the situation to teach them how to be joyous givers. Did you hear the story about the mom who gave her child a $1 bill and a quarter? Sweetheart, the mother said, you can place either one in the offering plate. It's entirely up to you. Well, after church, they were riding home, and the mother asked the daughter what she had decided to give. She said, well, at first I was going to give the dollar, but the man behind the pulpit said that God loves a cheerful giver, so I felt I'd be more cheerful if I gave the quarter. Someone once said that we should give till it hurts. The problem is it always hurts. But here in the text, we hear a little something different. That it really shouldn't hurt a believer. It really should be an act of joy. All through Scripture, God has taught that we are to be givers. Remember when God spoke to Abraham in Genesis 12? You remember what happened? God told Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I'll show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be what? A blessing. You are blessed to be a blessing. That is what God has called Abraham and for you and me. He didn't say, I'm going to bless you so your life can be easier, or your life can be wealthier, or you can buy a new tent, or you can have this and that and the other. I'm blessing you so you can be a blessing to others. We were created. We are blessed. And we are called to be givers. Yet, statistically, and I'm not going to send out pledge cards, so I'm not going to, you don't have to grab your wallet. And we're not asking for any pledges or anything today. But I just want you to think through this a bit. That the truth is about 2% of Christians in this country actually tithe. Now, I can tell you for a fact that more than that tithe in this church. This is a giving church. I can also tell you that the more money people make, the less they give on a percentage basis. Most of us think, oh, if I just had made a little more money, I could then start giving. The fact is it doesn't work that way. The truth of the matter is the more we make, the less we usually give. There's a guy named Keith Taylor who was like that. People helped Keith along the way in his life. One time when he was a student at the University of Tennessee, his car broke down and he paid to have it fixed. Problem was he had to use his rent money to pay for the car to be fixed. He worked part-time at a little place, and the boss heard about his fix and wasn't sure how Keith was going to pay his rent, and the boss paid it for him, not alone. It was a gift. The boss was a believer. That made Keith really think, gosh, what has this guy done for me? And then he thought about the other generous acts that people had. And then he thought to himself, when I'm out of college and I'm a rich guy and I'm out on my own, then I'm going to start a ministry to help the working poor. And that's when it hit him that everyone who had helped him wasn't rich. They'd just been compassionate. And they'd been believers. That's when Keith Taylor became unlike many Christians. He didn't just think about doing something. He actually did it. He decided that what he was going to do was open up on the web a ministry to help the working poor, and he was going to put $350 a month of his own money into this thing, and people could apply for the money, and he would make grants. Well, someone mentioned this on a blog somewhere. The next day, he got 1,100 emails requesting assistance, but he also got an amazing amount of people who said, we want to help too. A short time later, Keith incorporated a nonprofit organization called Modest Needs. The organization's first official grant saved a woman's life. She needed a mammogram. They paid for it. She had a tumor. It saved her life. That ministry's been gaining speed ever since. Now fronted by a very popular website, and I invite you, not now on your phones, won't you pay attention, but when you go home, look up modestneeds with an S, .org. In 2009, they gave $2.5 million away. One more exciting thing about it, he's discovered, is about 70% of all recipients of grants end up giving money back over a period of time. Keith learned we are blessed to be a blessing. You don't have to be rich to change somebody's life. All you have to do is be willing. The great theologian Bob Hope said this one day, laughter is an instant vacation. Giving is a two-week cruise with pay. Isn't that great? We are blessed to be a blessing. Second, the more we give, the more joy we will find in our lives. Remember what verse 6 said. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will reap generously. And we've all heard the proverbs that money can't buy happiness. But what researchers have found is that money can buy happiness if you give it away. It was an interesting book written by, it's called Happy Money, written by a woman named Elizabeth Dunn and Michael Norton. And they ran this experiment. And they did it on a university campus. And they bought a bunch of Starbucks gift cards. And they divided students up into three groups. First group, they gave them the Starbucks cards and said, it's on us. Just go on Starbucks and buy yourself a cup of coffee. Second group, they said, here's a Starbucks gift card. Give it away to somebody. Third group, they said, here's a Starbucks card. Give it away, but then go sit with the person that is going to get the coffee. Well, they followed the students. Guess which ones said they were the happiest or gave them the most joy? It was those who got personally involved. You can't just throw money at stuff. You got to throw your heart at it. In my former church in Eastern North Carolina, they didn't have Habitat for Humanity in Beaufort County. So some of us had been involved in Habitat and other places, and so got a couple of folks together, and we started Habitat for Humanity in Beaufort County. We raised the money we needed to start building the first house, and honestly, I could tell you, I tried as hard as I knew to get my church involved. And they gave money, but I couldn't get anybody to go out there and help me. So it was me, another minister in town, an Episcopalian priest, and another guy who was just a volunteer. Three of us started working on this house. Now, they had a professional group lay the foundation, so the rest of us are trying to learn how to do stuff. And I mean, none of us knew what we were doing. This house took 2 years to build. I mean, we did not know what we were doing. And some days it would go weeks without anybody doing anything. About two-thirds of the way through, though, we met the Hispanic couple that was going to get the house. And they had kids. And I brought them to church. And I introduced them to our church. Well, when our congregation met that family and met those children, all of a sudden, we had people volunteering to be on work teams. other churches started jumping in. What took us about 18 months, the house got finished up just really fast. I remember going out there and people are landscaping the place. I mean, they're doing all kinds of stuff. And I'll never forget the Sunday when the house was finished and the family came to thank First Presbyterian Church in Washington, North Carolina. And the people gave them a standing ovation. It was one of the most joyous moments we had at that church. And what happened was at first people had just thrown money at it. But as they got to know the family, they threw their heart in. And what at one time was something they wanted to avoid became something that they loved doing. Now they build three houses every year. Boom. Boom. Every year. It's been 17 years since I left. So how many is that? 40-something houses have been built. 40 families changed. We're blessed to be a blessing. The more we get involved and serve, the more joy it gives us. And finally, I want you to know that God promises to pay us back. Malachi 3:10, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, the Lord said, and see if I'll not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be enough room to store it. Now, let me say right here, the reason that we give isn't so that God will give us back more. I don't give God $100 expecting him to write me a check for $1,000. That's not the motivation. That's greed. But having said that, there is a promise. It's in our text this morning. The more you sow, the more you're going to reap. The more you give, the more God is going to bless you. And I'm not talking about just money here. I'm talking about blessing you in all kinds of ways. Rick Burdett tells a time that he was really blessed. He was an avid golfer, and he was in some pro shop somewhere, and he found four cases of golf balls with a picture and symbol of the Ryder Cup on there from the Belfry Golf Course. Now, for those who aren't golfers, you need to know the Ryder Cup is a big deal every year. They always play it in the fall. And this was the year 2001 where these golf balls came from. Do you remember what happened in the fall of 2001? It was 9/11. They canceled the Ryder Cup. So these golf balls, four cases of them, were collector's items. So he bought all four. He gave one case to his best friend, one case to his brother-in-law, gave a case to his father. He kept a fourth of the fourth case. Not too long after that, he was in his office, and one of his good friends came by. His name was Gene, and Gene and Rick had worked together. They'd done mission stuff together. They'd played golf together. Rick saw on his desk this case of the Ryder Cup golf balls, and he thought to himself that the Spirit was kind of nudging him, give those golf balls away. And he said inside himself there was this battle. No, I like these golf balls. These are collectors. I gave three out of the four away. Finally, he said he gave that fourth case. Gene, his friend, was diagnosed with lung cancer that month and was gone in 3 months. After Gene's funeral, Rick went back to his office, and there on his desk was the box of Ryder Cup golf balls. And this was the letter. It was from Gene's wife. Dear Rick, one day Gene asked me to bring him the dresser drawer that had his personal items in it so that he could give a few things to Darren and Krista, to each of our grandchildren, and to Domery and Laura. He had one item left. He knew you would like the golf balls. He asked that I would give them to you. I'm sorry, Rick, that I could not give them to you in person, but I remember too well that day. I was okay with it that day. It's just the memories. I believe Gene's passing has been a witness to a lot of people, and I am so blessed that God gave me such a wonderful man for 38 years. You, Michael, Jeff, and Steve have been such a support to me as well as to my church family. I love you and Carrie, especially for what you meant to Gene. Love in Christ, Brenda. Rick finished the story by saying that all those golf balls meant so much more to him because Gene, a brother in Christ, gave it to him as one of his last wishes. Before, those golf balls, he said, were just collectibles, but when his brother, who was about to die, returned them, they became a cherished memory. He was so glad that he listened to the Holy Spirit, who nudged him to be generous. My friends, God wants us to be generous too. Not just with money. I'm talking about with talents, with our time, with our resources, our energy. He wants us to give, and not with our fists clenched, but give with joy. Yesterday, I had a funeral, and it was a sad one. After the funeral, though, I went to visit Bill Nash, who's a member of our church. Y'all know Bill? Bill had been the president of Prudential Life Insurance Company. His wife died years ago. He had been incredibly generous with his time and resources and talents throughout his life. But Bill has dementia. And he was in the hospital last week, and we thought we were going to lose him. And he has roared back. He's 92, I think. Yesterday, he was lucid, and I walked into his room, and hello, Robert. He knew me. He doesn't often know me. And somehow the conversation turned to heaven, and I told Bill, I said, Bill, you'll probably get to heaven before me, but only the Lord knows. When you get there, there's going to be hundreds, maybe thousands of people who are going to welcome you when you get there. And he said, why so many people? And I said, Bill, it's the way you lived your life. You've served on local boards. You've served on national boards. You've served in churches. You've made Young Life possible. You've made the Salvation Army possible. You've given your time, your energy, your money to ministry to advance the kingdom. There's a lot of people in heaven because you gave with a glad heart. And all through the dementia, I look in, talking to Bill sitting next to his bed. He has a broken hip. And Bill, his tears coming down his face. He was a cheerful giver. God blesses cheerful givers. And the ultimate reward isn't something that you can look in your checkbook to count or how many golf balls you get back. But maybe, just maybe, we get our reward when we get to heaven. When folks there will say, thank you. I wouldn't have been here if you hadn't have given. If you hadn't have served. If you hadn't have given your time. If you haven't given your talents. We began this message asking, what kind of believer do we want to be? Do we want to be the River Jordan that's alive and vital, allowing the blessings to flow through us? Or are we going to be the ones who's just going to receive it and hold them tight? And eventually, it kills our growth. It does. We all get a choice. Which one do you want to be? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we are grateful for the people that I've known in my life and people in this church who have just lived gracious lives, who've lived generously and given generously of their who they are. I think of time that men and women in this church have given to homeless people, people who could never pay them back. For children in compassion who they'll never meet, but whose lives will be changed because you've nudged them and they gave. Lord, make us generous people. Make us all River Jordans. In Jesus' name, amen.
Did it, my Lord, deliver Daniel. Did it, my Lord, deliver Daniel, and why not every man? He delivered Daniel from the lion's den, Jonah from the belly of the whale, and the Hebrew children from the fiery furnace. And why not every man? Didn't my Lord deliver Daniel? Didn't my Lord deliver Daniel? And why not every man? The wind blow east, and the it blow like the judgment day, and every poor soul that never did pray will be glad to pray that day. Didn't my Lord deliver Daniel? Deliver Daniel? Deliver Daniel? Didn't my Lord deliver Daniel? And why not I ever remain? I set my foot on the gospel ship, and the ship it began to sail. It landed me over on a Canaan shore, and I'll never come back anymore. Didn't my Lord deliver Daniel? Deliver Daniel? Deliver Daniel? Didn't my Lord deliver Daniel? And why not sometimes I feel discouraged and think my work's in vain. But then the Holy Spirit revives me.
Christian teaching and talk on WTRJ, The Truth.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
Good morning. You're about to join the live worship service of South Point Community Church's 11:15 service, already in progress. We would love to have you visit with us at 7556 Salisbury Road in Jacksonville at either our 9:30 or 11:15 a.m. service. You can also visit us online at www.southpointcc.com. And now we join South Point Community Church live on The Truth.
Praise belongs to you, dear. All the world. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We thank you so much, Lord God, for what you have done for us and who you are. We lift the name of Jesus right now. We exalt the name of Jesus right now in this place, in our own hearts. We lay down, Lord God, our anxiety right now. We lay down the things that would become before you. Lord God, let them all fall away. We throw them down at the feet of Jesus right now to look upon our Savior and declare with our mouths and our heart and our hands and our voices that you alone are Lord. Jesus, you alone are Lord. Jesus, the name above all names right now. We magnify your name. It says in your words that if we didn't, the very rocks would cry out of who you are. So, Father, we just join with your creation right now. Give Jesus a shout of praise this morning. Jesus, you alone are worthy. You alone. We are saved by your name. We are changed by your name. We declare your name this morning. Will you change our hearts today? We don't want to leave here the same, God. Jesus, will you come? Holy Spirit, we invite you right now. We acknowledge and welcome you right now. Change us. Open our hearts to hear your word, that we may never be the same, Lord God. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said amen. Amen. Give him another shout of praise this morning. Praise God. Praise God. Wow, what a great time to worship with you. You may be seated. Welcome to South Point Community Church. I want to just welcome the online family. If you're tuning in, or maybe you're listening on the radio, it's just so much better live. We'd love to invite you to come next Sunday. But for those of you that are here, welcome. My name is Jason. I'm one of the pastors here on staff. If this is your first time here at South Point Community Church, we are so honored that you are a guest here this morning. It's one of our favorite things to do, to welcome you here with our church family. Whether you came through online, saw us on the website, you know someone here, we want to get to know you. We designed that rotunda, that big circle room, and when you came in here for a reason, and that's so we can get to know you and we can actually make our big church feel small. It's one of the most important rooms that we have in this church, so please don't be in a hurry to leave. Go get your children. Let them play around in the rotunda. We have a section called Guest Central. Right as you leave there, our lead team will be there. We'd love to invite you to stop by. We want to get to know your children's name, hear your story, how you found us, answer any questions that you may have. Just let you know how you can connect to this amazing church family. But we are really just thankful that you are here with us this morning. Now, when you came through the door, you see the program. Inside that program is a blue and white card. It's called the Connect card. If I have everyone in the room pull that out, I would appreciate that. If you're a member or a regular attender, please just put your name and email address. If you have any updated information, really does help us to know that. Make sure you mark their box. There's a box on there that says that it's updated, so it'll tell the people who put that in there to change your information. We want to make sure we stay connected with you. But if you are a guest this morning, we would love to invite you to give us all the information that you feel comfortable giving. We use this to connect you. It's called the Connect card. We have a First Connections team that are going to look at your card, going to call you, going to email you, going to connect with you to see how they can answer any of your questions. They're going to help you connect to the life of this church. So make sure you do that. On the back, there's ministries that you can check. You can check that you're interested in life groups. We have some amazing life groups that are starting up here after the summer. So mark that. We'll make sure we contact you about when they start back up and help you find an amazing group. Also, if you've never been water baptized, and you would like to be on our next baptism, go ahead and mark that as well. We'll get in touch with you to let you know your next step with that as well. But on the front of that card, there's a box that says, I would like to know more information about becoming a follower of Jesus. And we want to help you take whatever step that next step is with Jesus. Maybe you have questions. Maybe you've been in church before and you have a certain view about church and you need someone to talk with you through that. We'd love to help you walk through that. Maybe you just know this morning that you need Jesus to move in your life right now. And if that's you, mark that box. Someone will call you. We'll get in touch with you to help you take that next step with Jesus. We want to tell you what we believe here at South Point. It means to follow Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So we would love to contact you about that. And all you got to do is take the offering or the Connect card, drop it in the offering bucket as it goes by. So that transitions us to the Sunday morning tithes and offerings. So if you can prepare yourself, that would be great. If you're writing a check, make it out to SCC, stands for South Point Community Church. If you're a guest here, just relax. There is no obligation to give. We really are just really thankful that you are here with us this morning. There are three ways you can give. You can give here with us with cash or check. You can give online, southpointcc.com. And you also can give on our smartphone app as well through automated giving. You know, I was thinking, you know, every time I'm up here to talk about the offering, me and my wife, we've chose to do the automated giving. So it's the first thing that comes out of our check. We set it to where as soon as we get paid, it comes out there. And sometimes when you do that, it's convenient. I like it because I can just know right then and there it's gone. But I have to remind myself that, you know, giving is an act of worship. And so those of you that give in alternate ways, if you're not writing a check, I need you right now to join in faith, to worship God, even if it's already came out of your account, to say, God, will you use that for you? It's a privilege that we have that God gives us to join with him and what he's doing in this earth. And, you know, I was thinking through this morning praying, and God just dropped this in my heart today. It's like, you know, you can't outgive me. There's nothing you do that can outgive me. Whether it's with your money, whether it's with your life, your time, your resources, whatever it is, the more you pour into the kingdom of God, you're going to get back in return. It's worship. And we have to trust God. It is good on his word. It says it. And so we should believe it because he's holy. Church, do you believe that? His word does not lie. It's truth. And so let's join together with our faith. Ask God to bless this offering. And as men come forward, Father, thank you, Lord God, that we get to just to have the honor, the privilege that you would, yes, instruct us to do this, Lord God, with our money, Lord God, but it's for a reason. Lord God, we honor you. We worship you. Our money will not be our God. We declare that as your people, that we would not depend on money, Lord God. We would depend on you as our only provider. So we worship you with our giving. We ask you, Lord God, to bless it. Lord God, I pray that you would bless every giver. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow, the men are passing the buckets. We want to just let you know that Pastor Russ and Miss Debbie, they're not here with us this morning. They want you to know that they are thinking about you. They've been praying for you. But we have a real treat for you this morning. Pastor Adam Mabry is here from Aletheia Church in Boston. Pastor Adam is an amazing communicator of the gospel. Now, he's part of our Every Nation family. For those of you who don't know and you're new here, we're part of a church plant movement that plants churches all across the world. Called Every Nation Ministries, and Pastor Adam's been involved in that right out of college. I think he went to Scotland. He planted two churches in Scotland. He come and back to Boston, planted an Aletheia Church in Boston. Is doing amazing, and you know, Pastor Doug is so thankful that he finally has the second Patriots fan in the house this morning. Yeah, Pastor Doug and Pastor Adam, yeah, welcome. You know what I mean? And you know he also roots for FSU, but we won't hold that against him either. Well, hold of that against him. And I'm just thankful because I got another bald brother in the house, baby. Come on. We don't have to worry about haircuts, man. We do that ourselves. Come on. He's wrote a great book called The Art of Rest. He's going to talk to you a little bit about that in his message this morning. He brought like 100, and we sold out the first. So we had some books for you, and you're going to want to get one after the you hear his message. But we sold out. But you can go on to Amazon and get it as well. He told me that, you know, if you were to buy his book on Amazon, he knows. I think, you know, he heard a word that says if you leave a positive review on Amazon, you'll be blessed. God will bless you. So make sure you do that as well. But let's join together. Let's give Pastor Adam Mabry a South Point welcome.
That's true. If you leave a good review for anything I write, the Lord will bless you. And if you don't like anything I write, you can keep your opinion to yourself. Good morning, South Point. It's great to be with you. My name is Adam, and I am the lead pastor of Aletheia Church in Boston, Massachusetts. I am privileged and honored every time I get to come into this house. This is a great, great family, and it's great because it feels like visiting relatives. We are part of a family of churches around the world called Every Nation. When we use that word intentionally, I think to the IRS we're a denomination, but to us it's a family because we believe that we're called together to do something great in the earth, to plant Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, socially responsible churches and campus ministries all across this planet until Jesus returns or we run out of gas. One of those two things is happening. And so it's a great mission to be a part of, and I want to brag a little bit on your pastor because his leadership and His fatherhood in that movement of people is massive. When you're around someone who's amazing, you get used to them. And so you're around an amazing couple in Pastor Russ and Miss Debbie, and an amazing family. And so you're probably used to them. But for those of us who aren't around them, coming into their house is always really, really remarkable. And so, man, I just want to honor your leaders before you, because they're great. They're great. Praise God for them. It is true. I am the author of a book called The Art of Rest, which, as we will find out later, is kind of funny, because I'm a twitchy overachiever. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. So if you have a Bible, you can open up to the book of Matthew. We'll get there in just a second. I also wanted to bid you greetings from my family, which, yep, that's them. These are my humans. This is our growing collection. that's my wife Hope there, and then this is our daughter Alana. She's 13, and Nora is 11, and Cole is 8, and Wyatt is a terrorist. And this is funny. You might look at that picture and go, they don't look super happy. I know, because this is the 3 millionth try of, have you ever tried to get a family photo? Yeah, it's a sanctifying process, isn't it? Especially when you have little kids and you're like, look at the camera, look at the camera, look at the camera, look at the camera, smile. Huh? And so Wyatt's actually growling here, but it was the closest thing we could get. So if you've seen the preview for The Incredibles 2, just think of Jack. And that's it. No, he's awesome. My kids are great. We love them, and we're pretty sure we're going to keep them all. So join me, if you will, in the scriptures. I like this teaching series that you're in, where we're reflecting on in those life verses, those fighter verses, those things that you've highlighted. And for me, I wanna bring out a text that I'm not great at, but one I want to be great at. Sometimes we highlight texts because they really resonate with us. Like that passage, "Be angry and don't sin." I highlighted the first half of that because I'm great at that. Especially when I drive in Boston. Great. Fulfilling the word of the Lord. But this is not one I'm great at. And as we'll find out in our time together, it's something the Lord has helped me with. So here we go. Matthew 11:28 simply says this: "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I..."